So you can start anytime.
Now.
Anytime you want to stop, let us know and we'll take a break. But go ahead and read that card and we'll begin right now.
Okay. My name is Diana Martinez hyphenated Boleth. I'm 79 years old. Today's date is February 7th, 2020. I live in Santa Rosa, Oakmont area. And I am the mother to Valerie.
My name is Valerie Sharp, Valerie Bleth Sharp. I'm age 51. Today's date is February 7, 2020. We're at my parents' home in Santa Rosa, Oakmont area of Santa Rosa. And I am the daughter of Diana.
My baby.
I'm the baby, the fourth child of Diana. So I guess I'm just going to start by, asking you a couple of questions. And then we'll just kind of let it flow however we want it to flow.
Okay.
So, first, how would you describe yourself? What are a couple of words in which you would describe yourself?
How would I describe myself? Tenacious. And compassionate.
Yeah. I've been a witness to those things for sure.
Loving.
And what is the greatest gift that you've been given?
My faith. One. My husband and 4 children and 9 grandchildren. Those are the best, wonderful gifts. And in terms of what gift I have, I always wanted to be a nurse since I was a little girl. So I was given the gift of being able to do that. And become a nurse in oncology, executive director for a hospice, and also had my own business in geriatric care management for 21 years. I loved every bit of it. It was my gift, and I was grateful. It wasn't easy.
Yeah.
It wasn't an easy road, but people say that hospice people are special. I think everybody is special. We all have our special things about our humanness. And so I always thought it was an honor to do the work, to be in presence, in the presence, and stay in the presence of all of these amazing people who were my teachers.
Sorry.
Because we're all students and we're all teachers. So I was very grateful every day.
You chose a profession where you had to navigate the emotional storms of people that were in grief and people that were grieving not only the people they loved, but their own lives. How did you find the courage every day to be present?
I think. And through the camaraderie of all of the people on the oncology oncology unit, we used to have fun too. I remember one incident when we lost one Sunday. We lost five people, all pretty one after the other at the hospital. And I said to a couple of nurses, how would you like to go up and see the babies? I said, we need to fortify ourselves with knowing that life continues no matter what. So that was a little something that we did, and we were really close, pretty close-knit group. We were the first oncology at St. Agnes unit.
St. Agnes in Fresno, right? In Fresno.
Huh?
St. Agnes in Fresno.
St. Agnes in Fresno, California. And we took care of all of the leukemics. They stayed there a while with us, so we got to really know them until that kind of changed. And a lot of the doctors opened up their own clinics. But we enjoyed them, and people didn't feel like they were put aside because they were dying and that nobody would pay attention to them. They felt, I think the patients really appreciated the care and the compassion that all of these men and women showed on that unit.
How do you have the fortitude to sit in with people in their most vulnerable state? How do you keep showing up?
Because you stay present. You stay present who you are and what that person is asking you. You know, it took a while for me because one of the big things in caregiving is permission to do anything for them and to be gentle about it. I learned that on that unit because sometimes we think we know the right thing, and I wasn't always right, you know. So I had to learn permission giving, because it's really, this was in the 80s, you know, and we came out of a pretty turbulent times in the 70s, and so but also I was raised by an authoritative family, so I was kind of bossy.
Yeah, well, their bossiness has led our family sometimes, you know.
Well,
and it's been a pleasure, you know, to be led sometimes when we needed to be led.
Well, sometimes it's important, but you have to mitigate it with kindness.
Well, you have a legacy of kindness, Mama.
Ever since I came home from the hospital in May, and we shared what we thought the doctor wanted us to know with our family, I have had so many people that have come. I don't think there's been a week since last May that we haven't had somebody come and visit from all over the United States. So I am overwhelmed by the fact that people have wanted to be here with me in this time of my life. It's kind of strange, you know, for an oncology nurse, hospice nurse, to be taking all of this in for herself. I say to my friend, I say, I can't believe that you're having to do this for me, you know, because that wasn't kind of the plan, you know.
And what's their what is your friend's response?
Oh, they love me. And they always said, do it. I do. I love you. And I do anything for you. And they would. And they have, you know. They brought food, flowers. My kids, oh, my God, they're like the little helicopters. They're always there for us. They fly in, they fly out, down to Southern California. My two daughters, Valerie and Adrian, you know. Christine, our oldest daughter, and our son, Eric, live in Nevada. And so they're not very far away. So they trail in with my grandkids. And my daughter-in-law is like my own kid. She I couldn't ask for a better
Leslie
daughter-in-law, Leslie. Yeah. She's wonderful.
And then you have
and
some
all my son-in-laws.
Yes.
Oh wonderful. My goodness, Bruce and Kenny and Eric, my son, and Thomas, and then all of my grandchildren. They're so kind. And they'll be here, some of them will be here on Saturday to celebrate their uncle's birthday. And Zoe's going to London. So we know how to celebrate, don't we?
Yes, you've taught me about, so you've taught us all about celebration, about setting a beautiful table, about about how that's much more than just setting a table. That's bringing in beauty. That's being immersed in beauty and fellowship.
I'm very grateful, for all of the celebrations that we've had. You know, my kids have just been, they take their resources, they take their energy, and they always show up. I have so many close friends who don't have that kind of relationship with their families, and I pray for them.
Mom, because you've always shown up for us.
That was what I wanted to do.
Even when it was hard for you.
Hard for Dad.
And Dad.
And Dad. We used to trek down south. Valerie called me. Mama, I just wanted to hear your voice. I'm going in to have a C-section right now. My baby's coming, Savannah. And so, boy, we hippity-hoppeted right down to the... We were usually there, but for some reason...
She was early. She was scheduled, but she wanted to come early.
Yeah. And so we got there and she was born and you were okay.
That was okay.
But I just took my heart to hear your voice saying, Mama, I'm going into surgery right now and I wanted to hear your voice.
I still want to hear your
voice. That's the way it's been for all of us.
I still want to hear your voice. And through this process, it's been hard.
My voice?
Not to hear your voice.
Yeah.
Not to be able to.
Well, I have an altered voice, really, right now.
No, you just haven't had the energy to talk on the phone.
Yeah.
Or text.
Thank God the texting. You know, we have texting. And I was not going to be left behind. No, not with those grandchildren. Man, I tried to call them a couple times. Didn't hear from them. I said, okay, I know what you guys want. So I started learning to text. I didn't care about the Twitter or all those other messages. They can have that stuff. But the texting, we have gotten to be quite... Papa's our gatekeeper. Yes. And people bring wonderful food and helps George so he doesn't have to cook, even though he's a great cook. He's kind of taking a little hiatus while everybody brings all this food. And then I have to go over and inspect the refrigerator, make sure that the refrigerator is moving along. And I have to say, Papa, you know, George, don't buy too many groceries. These kids are coming this weekend. And they come in with, oh my gosh, I can't keep up with it. And they make the food and leave it, and we have it for the week, and yum, yum. Papa made a really nice chili bean for Super Bowl Sunday. Yeah.
What's your favorite thing about being married to our dad?
I love him. That's a favorite thing. And to see him grow over the years, watch his evolutionary process through his, all his tough times. I've always been proud of him. He's my rock. Papa's my rock.
He's had to learn how to talk on the phone since you haven't been talking on the phone.
Yeah.
So we're getting time on the phone.
Yeah. You tell him. He hardly ever got on the phone.
Now he talks on the phone for more than 5 minutes.
Yeah. Papa. Yeah, he's come a long way with that.
It's been nice.
Yeah. He's a great guy.
Yes, he is.
Everybody.
What else has he done for you every day?
Oh, my gosh.
Since we were little, what did he do for you every day?
He wakes up in the middle of the night sometimes and brings a wheelchair over and helps me to the ladies' room.
No, I was thinking more about your tea in the morning.
Oh, yeah. For all those years in Fresno, many years, I don't know when it started.
When we were young?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
when you stayed in bed long enough.
Yeah.
We were a little older, maybe.
Yeah. And he went off to work. He was the health director for the county of Fresno. And so he would make me a cup of tea, bring it up, and we would visit. There's one more thing, and I'll tell you in a minute. But he used to get all dressed up because, you know, he had to wear suits. And he was an Esquire man. Yeah. I said to him, "Honey, I don't know if I'm going to let you out over there. You look too good." You know, I don't know. If I should let you out today, you look so handsome. Anyway, when we both were retired for a short, well, no, I wasn't really retired till I came to Fresno.
To Santa Rosa.
I mean, to Santa Rosa.
Yeah.
I was 76 years old. I retired from my business. And so he would come, bring his coffee, bring me tea, and then I would go into Valerie's old room where I had my vanity bench, and he would sit there while I put my makeup on and listen. We would have our morning time. Those are the special things.
Kept you company.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that because it was our time.
I wanted to ask you about your capacity for kindness, because you've always had a tremendous capacity for kindness and been an example of that for us, you know, our whole lives. So even in the midst of chaos and uncertainty, you know, you always chose kindness.
That's very kind of you to say so, honey. But, I had my rough moments. But I'll tell you, the capacity for kindness comes out of gratitude, I believe. Because if you're grateful for each day and whatever comes your way, it's easy to be kind and generous. Generous is something I feel like I like doing. I like generosity. Whether it's a sharing something, a scarf, giving a gift, calling a person, checking on somebody, praying for a friend's granddaughter. It's something I do. And I was fortunate. My mom taught me a lot of that too. My dad.
Yeah, they're pretty extraordinary.
Yeah. My mom and dad were. Yeah.
We've talked a little bit about you dedicated your life to giving and to nurturing and to nursing. Is there a moment in time or an inspiration that set you on that path?
I always, since I was a little girl, felt responsible for doing things. I took care of my mom. My mother was not well at one point, and I took care of her. And I guess it was in that, in those moments, you just kind of, it was natural to be doing that. Then when I became, in high school, I was the president of the Futures Nurses Club at Lowell High School in San Francisco. And that gave me, this woman who came to talk with us was this really lovely nurse. She worked at St. Mary's, and we had her as a speaker. And then after I was walking her out of the high school, thanking her for being our speaker, and she said, "You don't have to worry, Diana. You'll be a good nurse." And I think, you know, that somebody other than your family that says that, and especially a nurse, who says, "You'll be good. You'll be good at it. And so don't worry." But my father didn't think I was should go into nursing. So I didn't do that right away. We had sort of a circuitous little path, my husband and I.
Your dad. Your dad and you?
No.
Oh, daddy.
We sort of,
yeah,
weaned in and out of our
right
educations. George went back to college when he was 27, graduated at 31 with 4 kids. I went back to college at 35 and graduated at 39 as a registered nurse.
Yeah, and I helped you study.
I was so grateful for the nuns because I worked up at the convent.
Yeah.
I worked at the convent at Mission San Jose for the Holy Family Sisters. And they were, my catechism teachers in San Francisco. They used to come over from Mission San Jose, where they had the monastery there, and they teach us catechism at St. Peter's in San Francisco. But I ended up working for them as a CNA, you know, kind of taking care of it was a beautiful model of nursing, the way that they took care of those nuns. the way we took care of them. You know, the food, the care, the gentleness, the entertainment, it was a very loving. And Sister Jude let me have a room downstairs because she knew I had the four kids. So she let me have the room on Saturdays to study my nursing. I will never forget. I always appreciated her.
I thought Mrs. Treanor also was instrumental in supporting your...
Yeah, she encouraged me to go back, to go back to school. She was in her 70s and was a teacher, graduated from Wesley in West Virginia. She was my neighbor in Fresno. She was wonderful. But fast forward, when we were working at St. Agnes, I met Nancy Hines.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy Hines did she wrote the regs for the conglomerate living arrangements so that we could have a hospice, a stand-alone hospice for six patients. We started that she started it in the 80s. And it took off in the 90s. Now she owns a huge building in Fresno and has outreach. She is an angel.
She seems to be like one of your heroes in real life.
She is.
Yeah.
She's my hero, Miss Nancy Hines.
Do you have other heroes in real life? In your real
life? Besides my family, my honey. Oh, yes. I had a hero. His name was... He was... I'm sorry.
Okay.
He was the head of... I'm getting...
Okay.
It's all right. I want to tell you this because Quentin Kopp, he was my hero because he didn't stick his head in the sand when we were trying to work out something for the AIDS patients in the 80s. He distributed all kinds of literature and fought Reagan to get care for the AIDS patients. George's group from the health department, they were amazing. They set up a whole unit to take care of the AIDS patients at home.
So I'm going to ask you some more questions, okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to just check something real quick.
Okay.
What happens is I didn't put it on. You don't put it on Do Not Disturb. When somebody calls, it stops everything. So we have 5 minutes. I'm just going to ask you a few questions, okay?
Okay.
Um, What other profession would you have liked to have had?
I'll be a doctor.
What is your life's motto?
A doctor and an anthropologist.
What is your life's motto?
My life's motto?
Motto.
Oh, motto.
Yeah, we have 5 minutes, so I just want to get some questions.
Yeah, okay.
What is your life's motto?
Motto. Oh, my God. I guess, do unto others as you wish them to do unto you would be my, you know, and at St. Peter's Church, they have this little arch, and on the arch was this psalm. And the psalm said, Lord, I have loved the beauty of thy house and thy place where thy dwelleth. And you know what? I find that all over the world as we traveled. We traveled a lot. Went to Nepal, Tibet. We climbed toward Everest. We did Machu Picchu. We did a lot of wonderful Paris, Rome, Spain, Italy. Italy, it was a blast. Okay.
How would you like to be remembered?
Oh, that's a big one. I'd like to be remembered as a woman who is willing to go to the wall for people.
You've definitely done that, Mama. You've done it for me, and you've done it for all of us. And you've helped us through this process of grief.
I hope so, honey. You know, it's quite interesting being a geriatric care manager and taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, because I've been...
Yes. Yes, we know.
Yeah.
How would you like to die?
Right here. With everybody present.
And when you reach the pearly gates of heaven, what would you like to hear God say?
Well done. Good and faithful servant.
I don't think you're having a problem with that one. Thank you.
I remember my mom when you asked her that question.
Yeah.
She says, will they let me in?
Let me in.
She let said, me in.
Let me in.
God bless her.
Yeah.
That was funny.
I think she's definitely in.
Oh, my gosh. She's got a band.
Thank you. I'm in gratitude for having you as my mom. Thank you.
Thank you for being a beautiful daughter and so loyal, kind, and talented. Oh, my God. You are so amazingly talented.
I love you, Mama.
I love you, darling. I love you, Valerie. My baby. Always.
And I'm here to represent all of your children and grandchildren to tell you
Christine,
how much we love you.
And Eric, mm-hmm. and Adrian.
Could you have better children? No, I don't think so.
Not a bit. Yeah. But I will tell you, I'm grateful for these last weeks, you know, that I've been able to kind of turn a corner, because I didn't think I'd make it through the holidays.
I know.
But when I came through after New Year's, I said to myself, I guess I'm going to live for now. So that's what I'm doing every day.
Just keep swimming.
As gracious as I can do that. Because I pray for grace all the time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mama.
Thank you. Is that okay?
I have